So, for example, football fans may cheer their team as they come onto the pitch at the beginning of a match, but particularly if their team have won, the noise that they make at the end of the game and the victory that has been achieved is usually much louder. And it may be exciting to stand in a large crowd at the beginning of a marathon, but it is much more exciting to be there at the end and to see the joy and the exhaustion of those who have finished. It is better to finish baking a cake, sitting an exam, writing an essay, decorating a room and cutting the grass than it is starting out on these particular jobs. So because finishing is often more impressive than starting, it has always amazed me that as Christians we make so little of the day that Jesus ascended into heaven. The day that Jesus was born in Bethlehem is normally celebrated, isn't it, with parties and presents and turkey and carol singing and all that kind of thing is rightly surrounded the celebration of the beginning of his ministry on earth. But my guess is that there are very few Christians who take any notice at all of Ascension Day, perhaps don't even know that last Thursday was Ascension Day. You'd be very hard pushed, wouldn't you, if you went along to your local newsagent and tried to find an Ascension Day card. And I guess the people would look at you somewhat askance if last Thursday you'd gone up to them, shaken by the hand, and said, "Happy Ascension." The ending of Jesus' ministry on earth is something that we have tended to neglect. And so in this short series of looking at three of the very special days in the mission and ministry of Jesus, we're going to look today at the day when Jesus ascended into heaven. We're going to focus on Luke's account of this significant day in Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. And the first thing that I want you to notice is something that Pauline has already mentioned to us, and that is that the ascension marks Jesus' finished work on earth. Now, like most children, I guess that when I was a child, before I was allowed to go and eat my dinner, my mum used to send me upstairs to wash my hands. And being a typical kind of little boy, I suppose, who was much more interested in food than he was in hand washing, this was something that I didn't particularly enjoy, particularly because in the house that I lived in, the water was always freezing cold. And so there were kind of two approaches that one could have to this particular problem. The first one was to go upstairs, turn on the tap, make a lot of noise, and then turn the tap off without having done anything at all, pretending to have washed one's hands. The second approach that one could take was to turn the tap on, dab your hands in very, very quickly underneath, make them look as if they'd got wet, but not actually do very much more than that, and then go downstairs to the more interesting thing of eating dinner. Now, I'm sad to say that, of course, these things never really worked. My mum was wised up to the fact that it wasn't good enough to pretend that you had finished, and nor was it good enough to have half finished the job. She normally sent us back upstairs to make sure that we finished the job properly. One of the things that I think I really appreciate a tremendous amount about the accounts of the life of Jesus is that the gospel writers always were very, very clear to make us understand that the events of Jesus' life and ministry really did happen and were rooted in the history of their day. So, for example, the birth of Jesus, we are told, took place in the days of Caesar Augustus while Quirinius was governor of Syria. The death of Jesus was occurred under Pontius Pilate, and his resurrection, we are told, took place on the third day. Now, all these precise historical references to these key events in the life of Jesus indicate to us that this was not some kind of made-up event. This is not a fairy story. This actually is history. These are things that actually did happen. And because they happen, it would be very surprising, wouldn't it, if Jesus, having finished his ministry on earth, just drifted away and disappeared. And people were left scratching their heads and thinking, I wonder if that's it. Have his resurrection appearances finished, or are we going to see him again, or just what's happened? Where has he gone? Ascension Day actually tells us that Jesus didn't just drift away, but that on a particular moment in history, he in reality demonstrated that he had finished all that he came to do. Now, the other thing that is interesting and important in this context about the life and ministry of Jesus is that Jesus, throughout his ministry, always seemed to declare that he had a purpose, a task to fulfill. He said on one occasion that his work was to please his Father and his food was to do the will of God. And he always saw his life as moving in a very particular direction. And the writer of Hebrews says of Jesus in Hebrews 1 verse 3 that when he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Why did he sit down? Because his work was complete. The job that he had come to do, in accordance with the will of his Father, was now done. You know how it is, the end of a long day, you finish all you have to do, you go home, what do? You sit down. And that is exactly what we're told Jesus did. He ascended into heaven, his work complete, and he sat down because everything had been done to the very last detail. But Acts 1 verse 9, Luke recalls that he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. One of the things that I now do quite a lot since I've retired is to play golf. And last week I played actually in a golf match for what are called the veterans, those old people in the golf club. And a group of us went off to another club and we played a match against the veterans of this particular club. And we were playing away and enjoying the afternoon when suddenly some clouds gathered in the sky. And it began to get dark, and then it began to rain, and then it really chucked it down with rain, and we all got really wet and very miserable, and in the end the golf match had to be abandoned. Now, I mention that because I think that is our concept of the word cloud. We hear this particular word and we think of a miserable, gloomy day, and it's cold and wet and the clouds have come. But in the Bible, the idea of a cloud does not have that same context. In fact, a cloud, often when mentioned in the Bible, speaks of glory and of victory. So, for example, Mark 9, verse 7, at the transfiguration of Jesus, it says, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And then again in Mark 13, verse 26, Jesus, speaking about his second coming, says, they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And so this description in Luke, in Acts 1, of Jesus ascending in a cloud actually tells us not only had Jesus finished the work he came to do, but actually he finished it in glory and victory. He finished it because he had been triumphant over all the things that had been thrown at him. And this is why Ascension Day is so important and so wonderful for us today. It shows that Jesus really did finish the work he came to do. He doesn't have to die again. Nothing else is required for you and I to be able to receive the gift of eternal salvation. All that is necessary for eternal life has been done. You and I can be completely and utterly forgiven and washed clean. Why? Because Jesus has done everything to make it possible. His down-to-earth historic ministry has been finished, and it has been finished in glory and in victory. His ascension is worth celebrating because it marks a complete and finished work. The second point I want to make is that the ascension shows to us that there is humanity in heaven. Between Jesus rising from the dead and then ascending into heaven, Luke tells us that he showed himself to his followers and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So, for example, he ate a pit of fish to prove that he wasn't a ghost. He walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 6 miles, to show that he wasn't an hallucination. Thomas touched him. The disciples saw the scars on his hands and feet. Mary heard him speak her name. And now, as they watched him ascend back into heaven, one of the things they realized was that the one who was going from them was the same Jesus who had spoken to them, eaten with them, talked to them, stood alongside them, walked along the road with them. This was not some kind of phantom Jesus going back into heaven. This was not some other Jesus who had finished the work and was disappearing into heaven. This was the Jesus who had been alongside them, who knew their lives, who understand what they were facing. It was this Jesus who was ascending into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, he didn't suddenly forget what it was like to be betrayed or whipped, tempted and spat upon. He didn't miraculously erase from his mind the experiences that he had faced on earth, the loneliness and the joy and the sorrow that had been so much part of his earthly experience. John, the Apostle John, in the amazing vision that he has of the risen and ascended Christ in Revelation, in Revelation 5 verse 6, describes Jesus as the Lamb standing as if it has been slain. And one Bible commentator commenting on this particular passage has written that the only scars in heaven will be on the hands and feet of Jesus. The Ascension tells us that there in the center, on a throne in heaven, there is one who understands from personal experience the whole range of human life. I mentioned earlier that last week I took part in a veterans golf match, and during the course of the match, the person I was playing against, as we were walking to try and find our golf balls, as we were doing that, this particular guy began to tell me about 3 really awful years that he had had to face. He told me that in the first year, his wife had very suddenly died. In the second year, he himself had to face a very serious illness that had left him in hospital for many weeks. And then the third year, the year after those 2 pretty bad events, his son was diagnosed with a life-threatening heart condition. And as I listened to him telling me about these things on the golf course, I was reminded again of some of those occasions that I faced during the time when I was a Baptist minister, where I have had to sit alongside people who have faced really tragic and terrible situations. And one of the things I can say to you is this, that whenever I found myself having to do that, one of the things that I have been immensely grateful for is the fact that sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, there is somebody who understands what that is like. Somebody who has not forgotten what it is to weep beside the tomb of his friend. That there in glory is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has himself entered into the whole range of human life and so understands and is able to share with people in that. And that's the second thing that makes the day that Jesus ascended into heaven such an inspiring day for us. It shows to us that God is not some kind of remote, distant, unfeeling God who has no experience of life, but that we worship the God who became a man, and that in Christ humanity is now an integral part of the Godhead. The Ascension tells us that if we feel like crying or laughing or feeling misunderstood or we feel betrayed or let down, that there in heaven is one who knows from first hand exactly what that feels like. The third thing I want you to notice about the day when Jesus ascended is that the Ascension shows how Jesus continues his work on earth, but now through his people. There's a lovely story told, which obviously isn't a true story, about when Jesus had ascended into heaven, that he arrived at the gates of heaven, and he was greeted by the angels, who proclaimed what a wonderful job he had done while he was on earth. And after the sort of initial celebrations, the story says that Jesus was sitting down with one of the angels, and the angel congratulates him on the work that he's done on earth, but then is looking a bit worried and says, "But Jesus, how are you going to guarantee that the wonderful work that you have done will continue through succeeding ages and generations?" And Jesus, according to the story, says, "Well, I've left 11 men behind, and they'll do it." And the angel looks even more worried, knowing what those 11 men that have been left behind are like. And the angel says, "But if they fail, what other plan do you have?" And Jesus responds, "If they fail, I have no other plan." And that, I think, is a reminder to us that Jesus entrusted fully his work and his ministry to his followers. Indeed, on one occasion, Jesus told the disciples that it was actually better for them that he went away, because then the Holy Spirit would come, and we're going to be thinking about that a bit more next week. But as he ascends into heaven, Jesus again promises these words: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It is, of course, through the work of the Holy Spirit that the ascended, the risen Christ now continues to inspire and equip his people for their ministry and their mission on earth. And in his account of the ascension of Jesus, Luke, I think, uses a really wonderful word. He says, "A cloud hid him from their sight." And I really like that word, "hid." I have a couple of grandchildren, and sometimes we will take our grandchildren on a walk in the woods. And like all little children, they love to run away and hide. But because they're quite little, they don't go very far. They just hide somewhere. And so we know that even if we can't see them, they're only hidden behind that bush, or they're standing behind that tree. They're not far away. They are simply hidden. And one of the mistakes I think we sometimes make when we think about the ascension of heaven is we sometimes imagine that Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, disappeared into some far-flung galaxy, millions and trillions of light years away, where he has now gone up into this vague, remote place that we call heaven, that is so distant we have no possible access to it. But the Bible says that the cloud simply hid him from their sight. That he was still near to them, but simply hidden. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, makes this promise, doesn't he? "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." The ascension says to us that we may not be able to see Jesus, but he is still near to us. And we have the amazing joy and privilege of being his ambassadors on earth, of doing his work in the world, being his hands and the feet of the living Christ. And I think it's a tremendous thing to know that Jesus, who in one sense finished his work on earth, actually now continues his work on earth, but continues it now through his people, inspired by the Spirit, knowing that he is only hidden from their physical sight. It's quite interesting, isn't it, to see the different ways that people have when they leave somewhere. Some people who know they're going to leave like to throw a big party, and they celebrate and they make a tremendous fuss about the whole thing that they're leaving. Other people feel a bit embarrassed about leaving. They don't like saying goodbye. They'd much rather slink off quietly. And I guess for all of us, even if what we're going to is something that's really exciting, it's always difficult, isn't it, leaving somewhere that you feel you belong to, somewhere where you've got to know people, you've grown to love them, and to appreciate them. And the day that Jesus left the earth and ascended into heaven, I think, is one to celebrate. Because it says to us so much about the past, the present, and the future ministry of Jesus. With regards to the past, the day that Jesus ascended shows that he had finished his work and had finished it gloriously and victoriously. Everything necessary for us to enter into an eternal living relationship with God has been done. And we can find enormous encouragement and strength in that. For the present, the day when Jesus ascended shows to us that there is humanity in heaven. We have one seated on a throne who understands the whole range of human life and can be with us in it all in a way that is full of real and practical understanding. And for the future, the day that Jesus ascended gives us confidence to continue Christ's work, knowing that he is only hidden from our view and has filled us with his love and his spirit in order that we may be his hands and his feet on earth. So let's rejoice in the wonderful day when Jesus ascended into heaven and celebrate it with joy and thanksgiving. So we're going to sing together a song.